In the name of the one true and living God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today's gospel is a doozy to say the least. This is one that gives a preacher a headache. A cunning, conniving, and dishonest employee is commended by his boss, and Jesus seemingly says, "Be like Mike? Come on, can this be right?" But as usual, Jesus has found a way of getting our attention. Today he is speaking directly to his disciples, and he is still teaching them what it means to follow him and to do the work that lies before them. He tells a story of a dishonest manager who had charge of the business affairs of his master. Now, this is not an uncommon practice for the very rich and famous. The master, who was filthy rich by first century Palestine standards, might have been something like an absentee landlord who would check in from time to time to see how his investments were going. Yes, this man was filthy rich. Now, the manager that he had hired seems to have had a long career of embezzlement, of cooking the books, or as we say today, misappropriating the company funds. And he was living large. But he has finally found himself caught and realized he was about to lose his job, his home, and the shirt off his back. He knows darn good and well that he is not about to dig ditches, and he is too proud to beg. So he thinks of a plan to take care of himself. You see, he's nobody's dummy. A favor for a favor, he says to himself. If he made friends, he might not have to worry about living on the streets if he were to be terminated. A real possibility that stared him in the face. So he calls on the rich man's debtors and falsifies the books. To one debtor, he says, "Take your bill for 100 jugs of olive oil and change it to 50. To another, he says, "Take your bill for 100 containers of wheat and change it to 80. Now, instead of being shocked and appalled by his manager's actions, the rich man actually praises the man's effort. But let's not you and I try this at home. The most shocking part of the gospel is still to come, as Jesus seems to commend the dishonest manager for his action. And he goes on to tell his disciples to make friends for themselves by means of dishonest wealth. Huh? Is this bit of revelation coming from someone who would know the Torah front and back and back to front? And what about that commandment of thou shalt not steal? Well, there's obviously more that Jesus wants his listeners to hear and to grasp about this parable while he has our attention. There are so many ways that our gospel text might be preached this morning. So let's consider a couple of things. What is clear in the parable of the dishonest manager is that he enjoyed his comforts in life. The means of obtaining it, sustaining it, were a bit dicey to say the least. But when he got caught, he used his cleverness, his smarts, his creativity to make sure that he would not be left out in the cold. Could it be, just could it be, that you and I are called as individuals and as church to be just as clever and creative in loving and in sharing our time, our talents, our treasure, our things in service to God and our neighbor? Can we say today that we are expending the same kind of energy to help right the wrongs of the world, to assist in healing the brokenness in our communities and in our society? Heck, even the church. Scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Amen.
The parable also challenges us to look closely at our own relationships and how we are to build up relationships rather than to destroy them or take advantage of them. How we might assist others rather than hinder them. How we might reach out instead of turning a blind eye. Not to make ourselves look good, but to affect the change we want to see in our sometimes selfish world. As stewards of God's many blessings, and let me stop here, how many of us know that we are blessed?
Amen.
How many of you know that you are blessed?
Yes.
Then say amen, somebody. Because God has blessed us.
Oh,
yes. We woke up this morning.
Amen.
We got dressed this morning. Some of us even ate before we got here this morning. And Stanley is fixing us a feast this morning. Nobody gets to leave before the final blessing. But he is blessing us this morning. We are blessed to be here.
Amen.
Our first task is to be diligent in our response to God's blessing and God's graces. You see, the gifts that we have been given are really not our own. Everything we have really belongs to God. Like the steward in the parable, we are stewards of what we have. We own nothing. God has gifted us. This means that you and I must ask ourselves how we will freely use those gifts, how we will use our time, how we will use our skills, our talents, our creativity, our smarts, our resources, everything we have been given, however small or large. And then how might we pay those things forward? And in the giving of our gifts, help others without the expectation. Because sometimes we expect something for something. And that's not how it works as followers of Jesus. We are to give as we have been given, without the expectation of being paid back here on earth, but in the age to come. Mind you, I'm not saying that we can buy our way to heaven. That's not how God works either. We can't buy our way. You see, we serve a good and gracious God.
Amen.
Who gives life freely, who gives breath freely. The other day, I came across a quote by the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, which said, "We need leaders not in love with money, but in love with justice. Not in love with publicity, but in love with humanity." Yes, sisters and brothers, the world needs us. It needs people not in love with money and stuff, but in love with justice, mercy, compassion, and Lord have mercy, peace. Not in love with publicity, but in love with their sisters and their brothers, all children of God. We are each other's keepers after all. And some of us may not have all the riches that others possess. Sometimes we may feel as if we have little to nothing to offer. But we have all been endowed with life and breath and something. We are each capable of making a friend, sharing a smile, giving a handshake or a hug, of making others feel less alone in this vast cosmos of ours. We are capable of the good, of treating others with respect as if they were the most precious creation placed on God's earth. Jesus closes this parable by saying, "No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Or as the late Eugene Peterson translated this passage, "No worker can serve two bosses. He'll either hate the first and love the second, or adore the first and despise the second. You can't serve both God and the bank."
Amen.
You cannot serve both God and the bank. Something for you and I to keep in mind. The good news is, and there's always good news when Jesus speaks, is that if we dare to use all that we have and all that we are to serve our God, we will find our way into fullness of God's dream for the world. The world that God created. And we will have the abundance of life promised us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So sisters and brothers, I ask you, who will you serve? Amen.
Amen.